Would you like to live your best life possible, regardless of your imperfections? Discover cutting-edge tools and inspiration to let go of your limitations and expand your life beyond what you've ever imagined. On Imperfect Brilliance, we help you tap into your unique gifts and talents, uncovering and letting your brilliance shine. Join certified facilitators and coaches Betsy McLaughlin and Kathy Williams to delve into different areas of your life, get unstuck, and create the life that is truly possible for you. These joyful ladies have changed their lives by utilizing the tools and techniques they share with you. What if your willingness to acknowledge your brilliance is the catalyst to creating a new reality? When you stop judging you, what else can you create in your life and in the world? Join Kathy and Betsy live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern to create magical and joyous possibilities for an hour of laughs, questions, tips, and more. We are excited to contribute and play with you.
Welcome to Imperfect Brilliance, everyone. I'm Kathy Williams here with my co-host, Betsy McLaughlin, and we have a special guest today. I'm so excited to have Shannon O'Hara with us for a conversation about receiving. And I'll just introduce Shannon for a little bit. Yeah. And I'm just so excited to have this conversation too. I was listening to one of her classes, Talk to the Entities Advanced, and she said, receiving is one of your most atrophied muscles, to the class. And I was just like, oh, wow, it truly is. And let's delve into that more. So that's going to be our topic today. And Shannon is such an inspiration. She's the founder of Talk to the Entities. And hello, Betsy.
Hello.
and not only the founder of this amazing, expansive business that changes people's lives, she's also, as the daughter of Gary Douglas and Access Consciousness, you know, steeped person. So she's been an Access Consciousness certified facilitator for 18 years and has traveled all over the world changing lives and, as she says, enjoying it immensely. So she started Talk to the Entities in her 20s, assisting many through changing their fear, discomfort, and inability with the spirit world, and helping them create a connection that so many need. And Shannon, you know, with her brilliance and her uncanny knack to nail people in a way, in a really good way, is such a fun facilitator to be around as well. So welcome, Shannon. Thanks so much for being here with us on Imperfect Brilliance.
Hello, ladies. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Wow. So I'm not sure if you heard what I said initially, but one of the things that I heard you say in Talk to the Entities is that receiving is one of our most atrophied muscles.
Yeah.
And could you explain that a little bit more, or delve into, you know?
Sure.
Delvin.
Yeah, well, it was interesting when you contacted me to do this own time with you guys, and because most people, to be honest, are contacting me to do stuff for Talk to the Entities, and you said a little bit what Talk to the Entities was a few minutes ago, but you said let's do something different, and I thought, huh, okay, that's, you know, that's unusual for people to ask for something different from me, but also so great. And you're the one that actually suggested receiving. And I thought, wow, what an interesting conversation. Let's try it. And so receiving is something, I mean, to be honest, I'm going to go back to the beginning. It's like I sort of learned what receiving was conceptually from my dad, Gary Douglas, who you said was the founder of Access. And he first started talking about perceiving, knowing, being, and receiving like years ago in the foundation manuals. And when I first started hearing about this, I was like, yeah, perceiving, knowing, being, and receiving, great idea. And it took me even years to recognize that I really had no idea what receiving was. And it took years of asking, like, well, what is receiving, to even really know what that meant. And something that I really noticed hugely, and I've had a strange path in that I was one of those kids that heard voices and saw people that weren't there and all sorts of stuff. And so I had to develop a way of either thriving with that, which is where Talk to the Entities came from, or it was going to kill me. And I chose to live and I chose to deal with it. And I'm so grateful that I had such an incredible sort of coach in that process, who was my dad. And I dealt with a bunch of entities for a lot of years, and I had to do a lot of clearing and a lot of communicating and a lot of dealing with a lot of lost spirits and all sorts of stuff. And then one day there were these beings that were there that wouldn't clear and weren't really communicating, and I couldn't really figure out what to do with them. And it was like really crazy making. And after a while, I just was at my wit's end, and I was like, what are you doing here? And it was the first time there was this flash of what I started learning was receiving, and they were there to gift it to me. And it was the most powerful, intense, beautiful, but challenging experience of my life to that point, because receiving is simply not done by people. All of nature receives, all of animals receive. People, unfortunately, don't. People think, people take, people give, people try, people are pretty disconnected from the energies of receiving. And it's one of the ways in which we start limiting our universes. When somebody gives us something, how many people automatically think, well, what do I have to give in return? Or is this a trick? Or is this a trap? Or how much is this going to cost me? And so that's just some of the ways in which we can discover how we really haven't been taught to receive in life. We've really been taught something else.
Yeah, it almost seems like in a way it's trained out of us when we're little kids, you know, we're just exploring and receiving. And then slowly we're told, no, you can't ask the neighbor for something, or you know, and taught to think and analyze. And one of the things that you mentioned too, you mentioned take and think and try. And I remember you really also talking about people use in our culture.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really dealing with spirits that really taught me to kind of what receiving was initially, because when these big beings would show up, these gifting beings, if I tried to think or work it out at all in my head at all, it would literally push them away and obscure the perception. And so I started having this really interesting gauge of when I was receiving and when I wasn't receiving, just by simply noticing their presence. And how many of us have noticed like this, like with animals? Like if you're in your head and thinking, literally animals will run away from you. And if you're relaxed and receiving, actually animals are far more likely to approach you and be around you, depending on the domesticity or the wildness of the animal, of course. I thought that when you brought up the thing about talking about receiving, I thought, wow, what a massive conversation. And I wonder how that's going to go. Because in a lot of ways, I feel like talking about receiving is like talking about some magical unicorn kingdom that everyone fantasizes about, but no one's ever seen and hardly anyone really believes in. The thing that you mentioned about the using, it's this interesting thing to recognize. It's like, are we really taught to receive, or are we taught to use and to take? And that's a very broad blanket question. And if we're really truly going to begin to stimulate receiving, to access what receiving can be, we have to also recognize what receiving is not. And receiving is not taking, receiving is not using, where we see a lot of use and abuse of the earth. People would rather just use rather than receive. Because in the receiving process, you're also gifting simultaneously, which is what's so magic about receiving. It's not just all one way directional towards you getting. It's when you are receiving, so are you also gifting, which then is a gift in return to the universe rather than everything being used up and gone.
Beautiful. Wow. Yeah.
I would love to have you expand a little bit more, Shannon, on the gift part of the receiving, because we're so taught in this, you know, that it's, you know, it's better to give than receive. You know, so much of us, we've shut that down. So could you talk a little bit more about the gift it is for everyone for receiving?
Yeah. You know, I would say that when you, to truly see a great example of gifting, of receiving and gifting simultaneously, we have to remember those of us that have had children or those of us that have had, you know, nieces and nephews when they were babies and holding them and how good it felt to hold that baby. And that's a great example of what someone who is receiving and fully gifting at the same time. That's why holding babies can be so amazing, is that they're fully receiving and fully gifting simultaneously. And this also goes for animals. Some of us have had those sorts of experiences with our pets. That's when you really see a great example of gifting and receiving simultaneously. And then, unfortunately, that's one of the only places we see that. Unless, of course, you're when deep in nature and deeply at peace, in a natural place, there can also be those gifting and receiving energies simultaneously. And now I don't remember what you asked me to talk more about.
that was it, you know, gifting and receiving simultaneously and the gift it is for everybody.
Because gifting and receiving is not quantifiable, and it can't be you can't place a quantity or measure on it, which as soon as you're placing quantity and measure, there's receiving is no longer present, which isn't bad. It's like if you need to measure out a pound of grains or 500 US dollars or, you know, whatever that quantity of exchange is going to be, that's not receiving. That's now commerce or trade, and that's different. And to really, if we're really going to talk about receiving, we have to also mention how undefined it is and how I believe that it is that lack of definition of receiving that makes it so difficult for people to perceive or have as a reality, since we live in such a head dominant world right now where understanding and analyzing is king and perceiving, knowing, being and receiving is fantasy.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
The unicorn land that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah. So they call it land that no one really believes in, but everyone hopes exists.
So for the listeners, for all of us, how can we start to build that unicorn land or tap into it?
So one of the amazing things that I've sort of been taught and also learned and cultivated about receiving for me is a huge area that really necessitated me adjusting my receiving levels was with money. And Gary has a book, Money Isn't the Problem, You Are. And in that book, he talks about how you don't have a money problem, you have a receiving problem. And I remember when I first heard that, I was like, that's a nice idea. What do I do with that information? And it was so interesting to watch over the years as I really targeted having greater ease with money. What kind of came simultaneously with that was this energy of receiving that I didn't understand what it was, how to use it, when it was appropriate, when it wasn't appropriate, how to access more of it, how to even recognize when I was blocking or stopping it. And now I have a very, I would say, clear cognition of receiving, whereas I would say that, and I'm not even, and I would say that's very sketchy compared to where it will be, but it's much better than what I had before, which is absolutely no understanding or reality of receiving. So I started asking the universe to show me what receiving was, like, show me receiving, because I just don't get this. So every day I'd be like, okay, receiving, 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 what's receiving? And I'd start seeing these flashes or moments between two people, or these energies of a tree in a park somewhere. And it was this, it would be these flashes of receiving that I would start to go, oh my God, whoa, that's the energy of receiving that I had never cognitized before. And so it was these flashes and moments of sort of that I started to weave together into a vibrational awareness or embodiment of receiving and sort of restoring receiving into my universe. And it's receiving is such a mystical beast because you can't really understand it. It's not something we can talk about into and analyze into understanding and then know it like a math equation. It's something yes. You only can perceive and be and know.
It sounded like you were going to say something else there. Well, it looks like we're headed for our first break. You guys are listening to Imperfect Brilliance with our special guest, Shannon O'Hara, today, talking all about receiving. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I liked kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak.
Can we walk home?
How about a taxi?
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back to Imperfect Brilliance, everyone. This is Kathy Williams here with Betsy McLaughlin and our special guest, Shannon O'Hara. And today we're talking about receiving, our atrophied, underdeveloped muscle. And Shannon, I love that you just said, you asked, universe, show me what is receiving. Mm. And that, you know, started to open it up for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's a really easy question for us to ask, a request. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I had learned one of the things I had learned that what you ask for, you will get. You might not get it in the way you think you're going to get it, but if you ask, it will come eventually. And so when there's something that when I haven't had ease or access to something, or there's something that I haven't really understood, that's definitely been, I've had to really ask the universe to show me what this is. And we're so lucky that we can ask and receive. And, you know, that's a whole other aspect of receiving. It's like, are you asking for enough? Or do you tend to come to conclusion about what is, rather than asking always for greater awareness, greater possibility, greater receiving, greater knowing, greater choosing, greater, 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 and more.
I love that you brought that in.
Ask for that?
Sorry?
Excuse me. I was just asking, do you still ask to receive more and greater and greater?
It's yes. And I'll have to say that the ask is not something that I do like as a head question. It's way more of a being mm-hmm. question. It's this ever presence of show me the magic that is available and possible in every way that it can show up. You know, my husband and I mean, and this is a great, actually interesting way of having some receiving showing up. My husband and I are in London right now because we are here to visit the Mexican embassy. Long story, I've got a British passport, just it's the way things worked out. So we're in London, and the only embassy mm-hmm. that we could do this thing that we need to do for some Mexican residency stuff is in London. So we planned a trip to London. I came from Sweden and he came from the United States, and we're meeting in London and we're staying at this fabulous hotel, and they can do fabulous in London, like in ways that, I mean, it's really the seat of a certain sort of quality and service and beauty, and I just love some of these places. Anyways, so we go to the Mexican embassy this morning, and we have everything ready and our passports ready, and my husband's Australian passport has been apostilled, which is where you have, it's a big complicated thing that I just learned, it can exist where it's beyond notarization. It's, you actually have a lawyer who's backed by the government to basically certify that that is a true copy of whatever. And in this case, it was an Australian passport. So we get to the embassy and they're like, well, I'm sorry, your passport's full. We can't put your visa in here. And I mean, this is after months and months of planning and thousands of dollars. And we're like standing there and they're like, sorry, we can't help you. Your passport's full. And we look at each other like, okay, this is an interesting hurdle. And then the woman behind the counter goes, unless you have another passport. And I go, he's got a German passport, which he does. And it was just in my purse. And we were told, like, I mean, the hoops that we had to jump through to get his Australian passport apostilled and blah, 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 blah. And she went, okay. And she just took the German passport and did everything in his German passport. We didn't even know that was a possibility. But as soon as she said, we can't do this because you don't have enough pages in your Australian passport, I went in my head, I went, no, that's not going to work for me. Show me something different here. And she just took the German passport, and within 10 minutes, the whole thing had been reorganized. And it was like, I was just so grateful. But the universe is constantly adjusting. When I'm running into something that isn't possible or isn't easy, I know I'm either going the wrong direction, or I need to ask a different question, or I need to stay present, and stuff can shift and stuff can change and different possibilities will present themselves, even in the most difficult, logistic, bureaucratic, legal systems.
Yes. Wow. Thank you for telling us that. And giving us that story. I mean, that's such a beautiful example of just being that different possibility. Okay, this doesn't work for me. Show me something greater.
Yeah, I was like, there's got to be something else possible here. No way are we getting to this point and being turned away because there's not enough spare pages in a passport.
Give me a notebook. I'll add some pages right now.
Yeah, exactly right. I was like, how about this holy other passport that we never use? Okay, sure. And I looked at her like, and I thought, is she mistaken? But nope, they took it. And I went, okay, you know what? Thank you, universe.
Wow.
You're funny.
So in a way, in that experience, you were the source of of change. You are the source of a different possibility just by being that. And I would love you to talk about being the source versus having something outside of us being the source.
I actually, in this particular case, I would question if I was the source or if I was just accessing greater possibilities.
Got it.
Because this particular thing with the legalities and the Mexican residency and this whole project, it includes my husband and includes a bunch of other people who are helping us and da 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 da. And it's sort of a little piece of a bigger plan that sort of has its own consciousness and is the source of a tremendous change for both of our lives. And this is just one aspect of a bigger organism. With being the source, I would say, like, to a degree, like, when I started to talk to the entities, I actually also wasn't the source of that, but I was definitely willing to be the mouthpiece and the source of communicating this energy and this possibility to the world in ways in which others didn't have access to yet. And so I was willing to be the source that others could recognize was a choice point. That being said, interestingly enough, though, Toxic Entities really has a consciousness of its own. It's really a source point of its own. I just needed to point people to it in all the ways in which I could for as many years as I needed to. And now Toxic Entities is really up and on its own 2 feet. I'm just part of a much bigger organism and organization of Talk to the Entities. It has hundreds of facilitators. It really lives on its own. It's being spoken in many, many languages around the world. It's a huge body of work that is a source unto itself that no longer really needs me. But I am lucky enough to get to receive from it.
Wow.
And bringing in entities even more, this is one of the areas where most people refuse to receive.
Yeah, big time, which is hysterical that it was the place in which I learned to receive. And that's what I talk about. Sorry, Betsy, were you also going to, was there something you were going to ask?
No, go ahead.
Oh my God, I lost it. Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, receiving from entities is not, I mean, entities to begin with is like weirdo town, like everyone thinks you're a freak. And I mean, it's hysterical in that it's the place that really taught me. I mean, dealing with entities is really what forced me to acknowledge my perceptions. Something that's really amazing about receiving is that it doesn't really exist in a vacuum. It's accompanied by perceiving and knowing and being. The more you receive, the more you be. The more you be, the more you know. The more you know, the more you perceive, and all simultaneously. And so dealing with entities, when I finally said, yes, I will actually admit to myself that I'm talking to entities and dealing with entities, it was this starting point of really developing, really restoring perception as a choice at all in my universe, because up to that point, it had been a bunch of blocks and stops and resistance to perceiving and being aware of the spirit world. And as soon as I was like, okay, I'm really doing this, this is actually happening, it was relearning how perception worked, which is perception, you know, this is something that Gary has really indicated as an analogy of perception, is that it's like the weather. It's always changing and shifting. Perception is not this concrete forever thing. It's a fleeting, altering awareness. And so perception was really perception for me was really the first thing that began to restore itself when I said yes to awareness, which was awareness of the spirit world. And for me, it was just the spirit world. For others, it's really just like consciousness in general. But I'm like a real entity sensitive. So I had to deal with spirits in a really dedicated way, because they're so, if I don't deal with it, it can become such a imposition in my world. So perception is really where I began the receiving path. And I didn't even know that receiving was coming. I just knew that I needed to start to acknowledge my perceptions of the spirit world. And I did for years. And I developed that strength and sort of started putting myself back together again, rather than being in constant reaction and resistance to awareness. And then the more the perception started to restore itself, then came also the knowing and then the being. And then one day receiving was knocking on my door. And I'm going to say receiving, although most people think it sounds like a good idea, is incredibly intense. It's sort of like having the most intense orgasm that you can't control, have no idea where you're going, totally lose your mind, and can't be in your head with. And is that okay on a daily basis in your life, or is control and being in your head more comfortable?
Wow.
Just saying.
Like you said earlier, this is not a light topic, and it really does have so many layers to it.
Yeah. Well, when Kathy suggested receiving, I went, really? Okay. If you think so.
Well, and for so many of us, control is just way more comfortable, right?
Oh, yeah.
Than this. I don't know where I'm going. How is this opening up? And
Yeah. And it's so interesting to recognize like how much we're taught to control. If you look at, did your parents receive, or were your parents like looking to control? And I'm not trying to make this about parenting, and because that's a whole other kettle of fish that everyone has all sorts of stuff with, but it's just to recognize like how prevalent, how we start learning how to stop receiving through controlling really from day one, through example, through the energies that we are grew up with in our households. And not that our parents were wrong and bad, because they were probably taught the same from their parents and their parents before them and their parents before them. And so it really has to come to us now as the source of our own lives, as Kathy indicated earlier, the source of choice. Okay, well, you know what? This is the reality I've been served. This is what I've been taught. This is what everybody else believes is real and true. And this is what everyone else is enforcing is real and true. But what's like really possible here that I've never imagined and that maybe no one else is choosing?
Mm. Wow. I love that question.
What fun questions.
Yeah. And, you know, the more willing I am to receive and ask those questions and really look at that there are different possibilities, the more receiving happens. You know, it's, and in that, it's usually far greater than anything that I have cognitively decided that it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Never looks like what you think it's going to.
Exactly. What were you going to ask, Kathy?
Well, it's interesting because there are certain areas that we talk about receiving in primarily sex and sometimes money, and we can go in those directions. And I'd like to talk about receiving maybe what people have judged as negative or bad or harmful energies and actions words. Yeah.
Well, as soon as you bring up judgment at all, as soon as you're in judgment at all of others, of yourself, of energies, you're not receiving. Definitely, that's a rule of thumb. If you note, if you're in judgment, that's not receiving. And that's how a lot of us justify blocking and stopping receiving. Oh, that's yucky energy. I don't want that. I don't like that. Like, it's interesting even to recognize how many people don't like money and have so many negative judgments or positive judgments or these energetic judgments of money. I won't even bring sex into the conversation because that's a whole other thing. But it's like, how many of you guys recognize this, all the points of view around money? Money's bad. Money's good. Money's a pain in the ass. Why do I have to deal with money? It's like, oh my God, money's the root of all evil. Money's like, I hate money, but I need money. It's like this endless conflict, point of view and judgment around money. As soon as you have a point of view at all about anything, that's not receiving. Which is how receiving can teach us to get over our shit for sure, or we have to sacrifice receiving, or, you know, are you going to make, it's like, when has judgment ever worked out well for any of us in a creative capacity? Does judgment actually create, or does judgment destroy? And a lot of us know judgment destroys, yet we still do it to our financial reality constantly, almost on autopilot, without any change in that point of view. And that's where really the tools of access consciousness become such a lifesaver, because you can really start to destroy and uncreate the points of view that, and the judgments that block and stop greater ease, greater receiving. And it's interesting to talk about this, because it almost sounds like I'm talking about some make-believe theoretical fancy talk. Wouldn't it be nice if only, which is actually possible if you will get to work, use the tools, and change your reality.
So what you're saying is this thing, this experience that seems make-believe is actually really possible if we're willing to let go of our points of view and drop in and start to receive.
Yeah, and really start to recognize what even that you are in a judgment or a point of view, because sometimes we've got points of view that we don't even realize we have that are dictating and controlling our entire universe, that like I've had so many things surface in my world over the years using access and asking the questions and being in classes and using the tools on myself personally. I've had stuff come to the surface that I'm like, oh my God, is that really where I'm functioning from? And I'll have this aha moment and I'm almost cringing because it's such an insane point of view. But instead of going into more judgment about how could I be so insane, I go, you know what? Awesome. Okay. You know what? That's where I've been functioning from. And no, I'm choosing something different.
Wow. I just love this conversation. Yeah, you know, I mean, I remember you even talking about someone changing her experience of being raped by just starting to receive it rather than, you know, resist and push away. And I mean, to most of us, that's just so like, how could she even do that? How do you even start to just receive it?
Yeah, that's actually a story of a woman I know who actually did a lot of like, I would say like sexual consciousness development. And there, wow, this is a whole other big conversation. She was walking herself home one night and a guy actually came out of the bushes to attack her. And basically she sort of went through this process, as I understand it, of like going through like, okay, I can barrier and resist and fight this, or I can completely receive this man. And she forced her barriers down and she made herself receive and embrace him. And he actually stopped, apologized, and then offered to walk her home. And it was this such a powerful, powerful representation of what receiving can create, and how when we put, and how many of us feel that we need, break time.
How many of us, we're going to hold that and be back in just a few minutes. Thanks for listening to Imperfect Brilliance, everyone. We'll be back in just a moment.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. This cat makes me make art. He's always motivating me to draw pictures of him. He just is motivating artistically. He's my best friend, but a lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
Keyboard Cat, YouTube star, and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Start yours today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Imperfect Brilliance, everyone. We are here today with Shannon O'Hara, and our conversation has been about receiving, and we've really gone all over the map with this conversation. And right before the break, I don't know, Shannon, if you remember what you were saying.
I do. Because we have the story of the woman who embraced, basically received from her rapist and what changed there. And which I feel like is like a really charged story to tell in the first place. But it's this interesting question of putting up barriers versus being vulnerable to the world under at all costs. And is something worth putting up a wall to? As soon as we've barriered, we're no longer receiving, which for some of us is actually the intention. You know, I'm in London right now, and walking around on the streets, it's like, holy moly, is it a lot of input. It's just people everywhere being angry, being sad, being all sorts of things. And it's, you know, I've noticed yesterday when I was walking around by myself, I was noticed how I was trying to get away from the insanity that I was perceiving. So, and I noticed it and I went, you know what? I'm not going to make this insane. I'm no longer going to make that dominant in my world. I am now going to receive all of this fully and completely change this energy. Because receiving is actually one of the superpowers. And when you are fully receiving, you are capable of transforming energies in ways that you could never when you are protecting yourself against them.
Ooh, say it again. I love that.
What energies are you capable of changing that necessitate you fully receiving them? When we defend or protect or put up a wall to something, we are at the effect of it. In fact, that as soon as you put up a wall, you're making that energy greater than your ability to receive it or deal with it. And so if you're willing to have barriers down, total vulnerability, like a baby, which it can be so intense, especially when you're in a sexual aggression situation or walking down the streets of London or having an argument with your spouse for the 50 millionth time about money or, you know, under duress or attack from any sort of external energy, which is such a huge part of life on the planet. It's like all of us tend to go into barrier and separate from the energy rather than barriers down, more vulnerability and total receiving of the energy. And in the total receiving of the energy, even though it might be intense and unpleasant initially, it is a transformation, a tremendous transformation process, but you got to have the nerve to see it through and be present and keep those barriers down and receive. Because like I said before, receiving is intense. It is not mild. It is like, yeah, it is like an intense orgasm that's full of pleasure and pain and everything beyond that, that has no words, that you can't control, but you can be present with. And that's not that it's like, are many people willing to have that intensity of energy in their universes and in their bodies? Or is that naughty, bad, scary, what, you know, all those things that receiving tends to be labeled with?
Yeah, I can hear some people saying, why would I choose that?
Yeah.
Well, and so as you were talking, it brought to mind someone in my family who, when I hug, there's it's not a sexual energy, but it's this energy of what, very, unpleasant, uncomfortable. It's almost as though my body is like repulsed. And how much could I actually transform that if I were to just like soften and receive it? And maybe you have some other suggestions.
Yeah, I mean, now we're really getting into the meat of this receiving thing, which I think is so awesome, because everybody, I mean, I think probably a lot of people can relate to this conversation, especially that one that you just said about hugging somebody and having just that gross stuff comes up. And it's, this is where this other amazing access tool of interesting point of view really comes into power play, because we have to recognize that no matter what we perceive, it doesn't really need to matter or be important, which is like a revolutionary thing to say, even in the face of those intense energies of repulsion and anger and violence and darkness and all these intense energies that most of us want to react to or get away from. It's like, what if every energy, every thought, every feeling, every emotion was just an interesting point of view, and you didn't have to be in reaction to it? You could just be present and receiving of it, which I know, again, I feel like I'm talking about unicorn fairy kingdom. like, well, that'd be nice if only I had that choice available to me. And we do have those choices available to us. And with this relative that you're talking about, when you hug them and you get that, it's really what you have to recognize is that they're, you're basically getting information about that person's body and universe. And that might not be information you want, but it is definitely part of what it is, what is. So yeah. Why it's like, my question is often like, why do people spend such a huge majority of their lives avoiding and running away from what is, rather than having that knowledge and that power and that information, just because you can? And this is, I think a lot circles back to what you mentioned earlier about judgment. Just really briefly, Kathy, you were like, well, actually, I can't recall the context you said it in, but you did bring up judgment and how that affects receiving. And it's like, how many of us would rather judge than be aware? Which is one of those brutal things we sort of have to look at for ourselves, you know, and I'm definitely not innocent of that one. It's sort of like judgment is the go-to position. And when does that become not the most effective position any longer?
Now.
Great question. And I'm wondering too, like, for would you explain a little bit more about the interesting point of view for anybody listening who
absolutely
might not be so familiar with that? Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, interesting point of view is, I would say, like, the one of the absolute foundational tools, cornerstones, and essentials of access. It's something you learn in the foundation. It's, what if every point of view, thought, feeling, and emotion you have was just an interesting point of view, meaning it has no significance. It actually has even no relevance. It's just an interesting point of view. And it's this, you're given this exercise of every thought, feeling, and emotion you have for a full day. What if those were all just interesting points of view? And, you know, Gary makes a tease with people. He says, this is going to be one of the hardest things you've ever done. And he's not wrong. It is incredible how many of us, it's like, if I do interesting point of view for a full hour, I get this incredible vantage point of how many points of view I'm trying to come to about everything under the sun, about money, about mm-hmm. about some staff member, about, you know, my butt, about everything. I'm always coming to some point of view about this, that, and the other thing, you know, and it's, what if all those were just interesting points of view? And what's actually possible is behind your points of view, and you have to sort of relax your points of view in order to access, here's that word, access something else being possible. Points of view yep. are the end of possibility. Points of view are the end of possibility. Mm. Question is the key that unlocks the door to greater possibility. So if you come to a point of view about anything, are you continuing to have choice, or have you lost choice?
Wow.
That would be the presentation of interesting point of view as a life tool.
Mm-hmm. I love it. You know, when you do lose your choice and you feel like there's no other choice, no other possibility, then that's the time, right, to start asking questions and truly what yeah. else could be possible if you change your point of view, or if you, and that's where just saying to yourself, you know, interesting point of view, I have this point of view, can really start shifting things.
Yeah, exactly. Because if I had not been an interesting point of view when the woman at the Mexican embassy today said, we can't use your Australian passport, we would have just had to pack up shop and leave after months and months of planning and thousands of dollars spent to get to this place. And instead of that, me and my husband both sit there like, interesting point of view. Okay, now what? You know, it was this willingness to be adjust in the moment to the energy. Because when you take a point of view, you no longer can be present. You're in that point of view now. So you've lost engagement with the energy of the moment. The universe can't really play with you anymore, which is why so many people's lives don't feel like a play and an engagement with the energy of the moment. They're like sort of, you know, stuck in a lot of ways. And I don't want to speak for everyone in the universe, but I'll speak for myself. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like when you come to a point of view and it's you're really in that point of view / judgment, it's like, how can the universe show you anything different other than your point of view?
Well, and that takes us back to the place where we're trying and figuring and calculating and you know, using.
Kathy's line is bad.
Oops. Kathy's oh, no. Out on us. Oh, there she is. She's back.
Yep.
I said, oh no.
Yeah, that's the only
that, that takes a, that takes us to back to the place where we're trying and figuring and calculating mm-hmm. instead of receiving.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So true.
So I have a request and you know this and I probably should have posed it, you know, a week ago. But do you have any sort of exercise that you could run it us through about receiving?
I would even go so far as to say, have we already begun to do that in this in these conversations already?
Yes.
You know, I know we only have a few minutes left in this today for us, and I do have a lot of I actually do have a lot of receiving exercises, and I literally call them exercises. I'm in the middle of a class, body energy exercises for the earth. That's a lot of developing the receiving muscles. I've got other exercises for consciousness, audios, that are the beginning of accessing, stoking, utilizing, and strengthening these awareness muscles, the receiving muscles, the being muscles, and restoring these energies of being and living that tend to be very atrophied, if not fully broken for a lot of us. And that's, you can, I've got a website, talk to entities.com doesn't have the receiving exercises. It's got other awesome stuff for talk to the entities, but shannon-o'hara.com is where I have all of the non-entity related materials. And there's a ton of amazing stuff in there for really deeply changing these blocks, these stops, these places that so many of us are so hungry to alter. And that's really what all of access is for. It's like the bars, which isn't going for a drink, but is actually this incredibly light touch on the head. That's the very beginning tool, the very beginning class you'll ever do in access. The bars are actually and essentially to begin to teach people how to receive again. So if anybody listening to this ever wanted to, you know, access more receiving after these conversations, it's like, look, we have these amazing ways of working on that, and get yourself to a bars class. Like, I think it's pretty easy to find Access Consciousness, the bars, from the Access Consciousness website. And all you got to do is lay down and you get up and your whole life's a different universe. It's too good to be true. And how does it get better than this?
How does it? And your exercises are amazing. And for those who would like a taste, there are a lot of them on SoundCloud, or bits of them on SoundCloud.
Yes, that's also right. I do have some free ones, bits of them, exactly. So, and you can get to my SoundCloud, I guess, Shannon O'Hara, and you can go to the Shannon-O'Hara website, and you've got the SoundCloud icon up at the top menu. Just click on there. There's a bunch of free stuff I'm putting up there all the time for people to enjoy.
And so yummy. I mean, really just, yeah. I can't recommend them highly enough. Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you
for having them there. Yeah. And it's so great to know you have two websites. So can you, you've already mentioned ShannonO'Hara.com, and then the other one is?
TalkToTheEntities.com.
With facilitators all over the world, as you mentioned earlier.
Yeah. So. Yeah. The happy ghost will be there to greet you. And it's an interesting world to dive into.
Yes, it is.
Indeed.
Totally.
Yeah. And actually so helpful. I mean, like this whole conversation has been about receiving, and when we're cutting off so much awareness of entities, gosh, it actually learning to receive their presence or receive your perception of them changes life for the better in so many ways. I can't even begin to describe. So if you're curious about that at all, get yourself to talktotheentities.com and to a class.
Thank you, Kathy.
Yes.
Yeah, and Shannon also
well,
has a wonderful book that you can read more about her discovery and journey into learning to talk to the entities. Thank you so much joining us today, Shannon.
Thank you
what
so
a pleasure
much.
To have you.
It was my pleasure as well.
Really
thank
grateful.
You, ladies.
Mm-hmm. Thanks so much.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.